Romans chapter 8, please. Pete asked me if I was going to have a special message in honor of this occasion. I said, no, we're going to go moving on in our subject that we've been studying about. And the title of today's message, you'll see it as we read the verses, is Dead to the Flesh. We're learning about what it means to live under grace. And you'll get a short introduction to that. But let me read to you verses 8 through 11 of Romans chapter 8. These are powerful verses. Romans 8, verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do pray that the concept of these verses, the understanding of what's being communicated to us about how you work in our life, might be clear today as we look a little closer at the verses, even comparing the last three chapters of 6, 7, and 8 together. And we pray we might understand what you're doing and what it means for us to live under your grace. In Christ the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Now as we were talking and bringing us to the place of where we are in the dispensation of God's grace, we learned that we're not under the law, but we're under grace. And when we got to Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, there's a pattern here, and Romans 8 is really the capstone of what it means to live under grace. But going back to chapter 6, if you just flip back a couple pages there, in verses 2 and 3, we read this. It says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And so what we learned in Romans chapter 6 is that we are dead to sin. We've been placed into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but Romans 6 is really just an emphasis that we've been buried with Christ by baptism into death. And that baptism there is not into water, it's a baptism into Christ. And when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were placed into his death. And that's why verse 2 says that we are dead to sin. And we'll talk a little bit more about that concept. But when we got over to Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, it says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. So we learn in Romans chapter 6 that we're dead to sin. Romans chapter 7, we're dead to the law. And then over there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead. And so we're dead to the body, that is, dead to the flesh, as we were talking about the title of that. And that truth is something that will empower us to live for the Lord. What Paul did in the book of Romans, the first five chapters of Romans establishes the gospel, salvation from the penalty of our sins. The Romans chapters 1 through 5, when you get to Romans chapter 3, it comes out of that the beautiful little short statement, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To realize that we are sinners, and as sinners we cannot save ourselves. But right after he makes that statement, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it goes on to explain that we can be justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And that is, we who are sinners can be declared righteous. That's what justification means. How could a holy God declare, he just pronounced that we're all sinners, but we can be declared righteous by the grace of freely, by the grace of God. And that is through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, redemption is freedom by payment of a price. And we had a penalty of sin upon us. And the penalty of that sin is death. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died on the cross for our sins. That's redemption. And now by his payment, paying for all of our sins, salvation is a free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be the one who died and took care of your sins, God the Father declares you righteous. Because as the redemption is, Christ paid for our sins. When you get to Romans chapter 5, or Romans chapter 4, you start learning that the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is put to your account before God. So you understand the gospel is Christ died for our sins. He took the sins away. But then when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is put to your account. And then God declares you righteous because you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not your own righteousness, because you're the sinner, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ that comes through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Romans chapters 1 through 5 established that gospel. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 5 in verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us." When it says without strength, you realize you don't have the means of saving yourself. You're the sinner. And there's no way that you can get rid of your own sins. You can try to stop sinning, but you're already sinner. You've already done things wrong. So you're without strength. But when you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, you might not want to call yourself an ungodly person, but if you want a Savior, you better call yourself an ungodly person, because He died for the ungodly. When you realize that you were ungodly in your sins, then you realize at that time Christ died for you. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But God didn't die. Jesus Christ didn't die for a righteous man, and He didn't die for a good man. It says, verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And when it says He died for us, He died in payment for our sins. He became our substitute and paid for our sins. So in Romans chapters 1 through 5, you learn about salvation, justification, imputed righteousness, and so you learn what salvation is. When you get to Romans chapter 6, look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. This is what led us into this series that we've been doing. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." And what we started to learn in Romans chapters 6 through 8 there, what it means to live under grace. We made an illustration of what it was like to live under the law, and how we went back into the law. We studied if we were under the law, if we were Israel in the Old Testament. We talked about what we could eat for breakfast, what we had to get dressed, what we had to spend our time doing, what we could grow, what we couldn't harvest. We went through all these things, realizing that they had to study all that to learn what it was like to live under the law. But you and I, we have to look at Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 to learn what it means to live under grace. It's not a natural thing. This is something that God is doing differently than what He did with Israel. And so we're learning that we're dead to sin, that concept, that we're dead to the law. And now in this passage of Romans chapter 8 that we're going to study, we're dead to the flesh. Let's take the highlights of chapter 6, 7, and 8. So in chapter 6, look back to chapter 6. After you learn that you're dead to sin, we've read those verses in verses 2 and 3, that we've been placed into the death, burial, and resurrection, or at least the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that once we learn that we're dead to sin, that is, we're not in our sins, that we're dead to sins. I love the illustration, dead people don't sin, right? That's one way to stop sinning, but we're dead to sin in the fact that we were placed into Christ's death. And as such, when you learn that truth, then it challenges you in verse 11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God." We've given new life in Christ. So after you learn that you're dead to sin, then you reckon yourself to be dead into sin and alive unto God. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies." It doesn't have to dictate how you're going to live your life anymore. Verse 13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield them unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So once you learn the truth that you're dead to sin, now you realize, hey, I'm free now to serve God. I don't have to serve sin. And so that was Romans chapter 6. When you get to Romans chapter 7, it says in verse 4, Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him that raised up, who is raised up from the dead, that we should be that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We were dead to the law so that we could be married to another, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see we're placed into Jesus Christ, and now we're joined to Jesus Christ, and as a such, we can bring fruit unto God. Verse 6. But now ye are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein you were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So we're now dead to the law, and now that we're dead to the law, don't go back and try to serve God under the law. There's a new way of serving God, and we serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. That newness of the spirit, that has to do with us learning a new way of serving God. Newness of the spirit. And you might notice in that verse when it says that we should serve in newness of spirit, that's a small s. Spirit there, you are a soul who has a body and a spirit. The spirit is the seat of your intellect. And there's some things for you to now learn in your spirit so that you can serve God in the newness of your spirit. Your spirit has been occupied by the course of this world, but now there's some things that God has changed and you've gotten saved, and now you can start serving God in the newness of spirit. There's some things that you're going to need to learn and not serve God in the oldness of the letter. Now that's an important truth in Romans chapter 7. How do you serve in that newness of the spirit? Well, you come over to Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now you got a capital S there. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want you to realize when you're looking at these verses, even verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. These are, you know, when you look at this, it's a whole different concept. It's things for you to study and to learn about how the difference is between how God worked with Israel and how God is working with us. You might see in those verses, you see the soul, you see the body, and you see the spirit. Now, the spirit here is the spirit of God going to dwell with our spirit. But when it says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That God sees you dead to the flesh, the flesh we occupy, and he sees us in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you need to realize that God, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll show you the verses in a moment, that God gave you the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So God recognizes the sinful flesh that we walk around in as being dead because of sin. Sin's associated with this body we walk around in. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So that what we're talking about here is that we are going to not serve in the flesh, but we're going to serve in the spirit. We are not in the flesh, but we're actually in the spirit. Well, just hold your place in Romans and just go to 1 Corinthians, which is the next book, and look at chapter 3. Now, there's several other verses we go to. This was nice and short, to the point and close. Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? It's real important for you to realize that when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's Spirit came and indwelt us. That never happened in the Old Testament times. It happened for Israel on the day of Pentecost, but the Spirit has a different work in the believing remnant of Israel than he has in us. But Paul, in talking to the Corinthians, who weren't very spiritual, they were carnal, living in the flesh, he makes that statement, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So God the Holy Spirit does dwell in those that have put their faith in the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. After that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But when the Holy Spirit sealed us, he came and indwelt in us. Look at chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And look at verse 19. Because Paul's dealing with people living in fornication. And so he says in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We always think of a temple as a holy building somewhere. But God doesn't dwell in brick and stone mortars that people build. God today dwells in his believers, in people. So he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God put his Holy Spirit in us when we believe the gospel. And when he put his Holy Spirit in us, according to what we're reading over there in Romans chapter 8, is we are not in the flesh, but we're in the spirit. Who's the we? Well, you are the soul. And when it says ye, we're talking about you, the soul. Right now, your soul, as we sit here physically, your soul is inside your body. Your spirit is the decision maker of your soul. It's the thinking capacity of the soul. It's when the Bible talks about believing with your heart. The heart is that decision maker that's part of the spirit and that influences your soul. So you make a decision coming from your soul. So in this verse, when it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. God doesn't, he's dealt with us, and we're going to share that in a minute, but he's dealt with us in that he doesn't see us in the flesh or deal with us in the flesh. He deals with us as in the spirit, and that's if so that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So all believers have the Spirit of God. You know, there's churches that teach only certain people have the Spirit of God and all of that. Well, if that was true, then there'd be people who don't have the Spirit of God, they don't belong to God. But all the people who have trusted the gospel belong to God, and we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. So verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Sin dwells in this body. God doesn't deal with sin. So he's not dealing with our body. And that's under the law. That's how people, they tried to serve God in their flesh. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. We have the Spirit of God came in and dwelt us. And what's the name of the Spirit? Isn't he called the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. God has imputed us to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit it dwells in us, and he brings about life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now this, to me, this is the most fascinating verse when you talk about the Christian life. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. That's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ out of the dead. He died for our sins. He was buried, put away our sins. He was raised for our justification. And the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if that Spirit dwells in you, Paul says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken means to make alive. We got a body that we're just reading about is dead, but the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from that grave dwells in us here now, that spirit can quicken our mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in us. Make alive this mortal body so that God can use this body right now. Sometimes people read that and they're thinking, oh yeah, okay, Jesus Christ, that God's going to raise us from the dead someday. And that's going to be quickening, making alive our mortal body. First of all, he's not going to make alive this body. He's going to raise it and change it, so maybe he makes it alive in that sense. But the bodies that are in a grave are not a mortal body. They're a dead body. A mortal body is a body that's subject to death. And we live in a mortal body right now. We have only immortality that's promised to us from God by His Spirit. But we are living in mortal bodies. All of us are subject to death. We're going to die someday if the Lord tarries. And in fact, when you read about this mortal must put on immortality, that's talking about those who are alive when Jesus Christ comes back. This mortal must put on immortality. So mortal has to do with the body that we're living in. And the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in this mortal body. The Holy Spirit can quicken this body to be used for God now. God doesn't just have a future purpose for us. He has a purpose for us now, and He's empowered us to live that life by the Holy Spirit that He's put within us that quickens this mortal body. I'd like you to see a couple verses concerning that. Come over to, well, one's right here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it with the lust thereof." So you don't have to obey it. Why? Because God's Spirit is in us and can quicken this mortal body so that we don't have to serve sin. But the verse I'm thinking most about is over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul talks about his ministry and things that he suffered. He says up in verse 7, he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," that is God working and living in us, "we have it in earthen vessels." You know, we're vessels made out of clay. And that's what an earthen vessel is. We have something very powerful in a very fragile body. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies." We're talking about, that's what we call the Christian life. That we don't have it in ourselves, but we have Christ living in us, and the life of Christ might be manifest, made known in these bodies we walk around in. Now look at verse 11. "For we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Flesh that is subject to death, flesh that we're living in and we're walking around in now. And Paul there makes it clear that's the goal of God today, to live, have Christ live in us and be manifested through us, His life manifesting through us. And so that's what we're reading about in Romans chapter 8, that how that is made possible by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. So that when you realize, you know, sometimes when we say, well, you're not under the law, you're under grace, we say, oh, that's an excuse to sin. Not when you follow what Paul's saying. If the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ out of that tomb dwells in you, He can quicken your mortal body by that Spirit that dwells in you. That God has the power to live powerfully in your life. For you not to live and serve sin, but to live and serve the Lord. So that the point of what we're talking about is God's Spirit in you makes it possible for you to who still reside in this mortal flesh, to live and serve God in righteousness. Now, you know, up to this point in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit has only been mentioned one time. And it's interesting because that's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, where he's not even called the Spirit, he's called the Holy Ghost. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He hath given to us." Up to this point, the Holy Spirit has never been mentioned. Now you get to Romans chapter 8, and it's going to be mentioned 19 times. If you kind of just look, you got it in verse 1, you got it in verse 2, you got it in verse 4, you got it in verse 5. In fact, in verse 5, it's mentioned twice. It talks about they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But then you got it in verse 9. I'm going to go back over verse 9 in a minute. You got it in verse 10. You got it in verse 11 twice. You got it in verse 13. You got it in verse 14. You got it in verse 15. You got it in verse 16. Then you a little bit of break, and you got it again in verse 23. Verse 26 got it in there twice. Verse 27. 19 times you're going to refer to the Holy Spirit. So you start realizing, especially when you talk about that you're not under the law, you're under grace. The people in the Old Testament lived under law. They never had the Spirit of God. Only the prophets, only special ones had the Spirit of God for a purpose of really revealing God's truth. But today, every person who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ receives God's Spirit. So certainly there's got to be a whole different way of serving the Lord than how they serve the Lord. And how we have to learn the truths that are taught here in the book of Romans. When I say the truths that are taught here, when we say you're dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to the flesh, that's a concept that, you know, it kind of falls together really nice, flows out of the lips real easy. But what is that concept? How do we really understand that? Well, that was my point in studying what it was like to live under the law. Those people studied that law to understand what they were responsible before God. That same effort needs to be put in us to study, to learn what it like or what it means to live under grace. When I said, look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, what I want you to see in verse 9, not only the three times the word Spirit is used, but the first time we're in the Spirit. So that's the Holy Spirit. Then it goes on to say, and if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now we got the Spirit of God the Father. We got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and if the Spirit of God dwells in you, now it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That Holy Spirit is called the Spirit. It's called the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. You know, there's people who don't believe in the Trinity. What do you got, three different spirits in you? You have the Holy Spirit in you, and He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ that's dwelling in us. All three persons of the Godhead are identified with the Holy Spirit, but all are identified in us. And then comes that statement in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so what we start learning is that to the point of living under grace is to recognize that you're free from sin. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the law. You're dead to the flesh that dwells in your sin that dwells in your flesh. So, to live under grace, you need to recognize that you're free from sin, and therefore don't try to serve God under the law, but to learn to serve God under newness of life. And then, as you come to Romans chapter 8, you learn about walking after the Spirit. I won't hold off. We're going to read that verse, but that's verses 1-4 there. And then the verses that we were reading, verses 9-11 there, is living in the Spirit. And then when you follow that, it says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we learn to walk in this newness of the Spirit. We are walking after the Spirit. We're going to live in the Spirit. We're going to be led by the Spirit. And we'll get more into what each one of those represent next week. But I want to just take the rest of the time today just to kind of get an idea of what it means to walk after the Spirit. Look back up in verse 2. And the reason I'm starting in verse 2 instead of verse 1, there is like three different ideas when you read the first four verses that come out of this passage that I could stop and explain the controversy, the different thoughts. But if I do that, that destroys the lesson that we're learning. The lesson that we're learning is how to live by God's Spirit under grace. So We're not going to get into the different thoughts. I'll share them next week. But watch these verses. In verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." So you're free from... The law brings about sin, and sin brings about death. But the Spirit, and that's the capital S there, that's God the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of life. He indwells you. You know why you have eternal life as a present possession? Remember Ephesians 1:13? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit. You already have eternal life in your soul by God's Spirit that dwells in us. So it says the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How'd you get free? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You know what it couldn't do? It couldn't stop you from sinning. And it couldn't save you once you did sin. So what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the law is powerful, but the flesh is weak, it's going to sin. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to deal with sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ dealt with your sin problem. He condemned sin in the flesh by dying on the cross for your sins, by paying for your sins. And why did He do that? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God not only saved us from the penalty of our sins, Jesus Christ saved us from the penalty of our sins by coming to earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, but He did that so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we can do what others could not do. We could walk after the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In that verse there, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Notice those phrases, in us. A lot of times we think, oh, the righteousness of the law can be fulfilled by us. No, it can't be fulfilled by you. We're talking about what the Holy Spirit work in us can accomplish. And as we walk after the Spirit, then the righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in us. And when we say the righteousness of the law, we're not talking about we can now finally fulfill the law. No, we're not under the law. The righteousness of the law is all the goodness. Look over in chapter 7, in verse 12. It says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." There's your righteousness of the law. And those things can be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we start learning here about walking after the Spirit. And I said next week we're going to kind of review this. But Jesus Christ condemned in the flesh, sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So how is this done? Well, to get ready to see what Romans chapter 8, now we'll spend more than 1 week in Romans chapter 8, to see how that's done, the clue is found back in chapter 7. And I wanted to show you this. Back in chapter 7, we already talked about, look at verse 6 again, that being joined to Christ, we're to learn that we should serve in newness of spirit and not oldness of the letter. That the newness of the Spirit, the Spirit is the seat of our intellect. Now follow a couple verses. Come over back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And learn what the Spirit is here. This is your spirit. It says in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" We communicate with each other on an intellectual level by our spirit. We all have a human spirit. But it says, "Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." God's spirit is different than our spirit. We can't communicate with God. But it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." God's Spirit communicates with our spirit that we might know some things of God. And you just stay there. I'm going to read you this verse. But when you get to Paul's later epistles, he expounds on the Christian life, and he's praying for you in the book of Colossians, and he says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, their faith, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. That's powerful. But it all came from you being filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So in Romans 7, when it says to serve God in newness of spirit, we're now going to need to take in some new information about God's word and how God's operating in grace in us by his spirit. The spirit gave us the word of God, and we're going to take that word of God and put it in our life. And that's how we're going to start serving God in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. So that's the first clue that we begin to see how to walk after the Spirit. And that is that newness of the Spirit, serving in the newness of the Spirit. Now what happens in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 17, is verse 7 through 11, it points out that the law actually produces sin. I can show you that just one verse. Look at verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me, worked in me, all manner of concupiscence. I like Bible words, you know. You wonder, what in the world? I think I got the gist of that. Concupiscence is all manner of lustful desires. What worked all kinds of lustful desires in me? It said, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. And he goes on to say, I was alive without the law once. He's talking about when he was a child, not under the law. And then when he became a man, he put himself under the law and he died. The law is going to condemn you. The law, what you need to understand from Romans 7, verses 7 through 11, is the law generates sin. You're a sinner, you got this sin, and as soon as you tell this sin, don't do that, guess what it's going to do? If I tell you, don't look over there, how many heads turned? As soon as you put someone under the law, it generates sin. So that's why you're not to serve under the law, but serve in the newness of the Spirit. So first of all, learn that we can't be serving God under the law. That only is going to generate. Every time you try not to do something, you're going to do it worse. We've already read those verses. That's over there in verse 12 and following. We already talked about 12, how the actually talks about what the righteousness of the law is. But then you get down to like verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent that the law is good. So Paul, you can see what the law is doing there. It just generates sin, and the problem is not the law. We just read in verse 12, the law is holy, just, and good. The problem's not the law. The problem is sin that's in my flesh. And to put that flesh under the law is just going to generate more sin. So the problem is with me, with sin that resides in my flesh. That's what verse 18 says real clearly. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, and notice the parentheses, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. I always point out, like some people say, well, Paul's talking about before he got saved. Well, verse 15 and 16 might be before he got saved. But notice verse 17 says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now he's saved. And now he realizes he's dead to sin, and he's dead to the law, and we're getting to the point of what it means to be dead to the flesh, that your flesh has no good thing in it. For you to take this flesh and try to serve God in your efforts, there's nothing good. In fact, verse 19, he says, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. As long as you're in this body is sinful. And it's always going to sin. And even when you do something right, it's going to sin. So, but back up in verse 18, he says, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So that's the goal, how to find out how to perform that which is good. And as long as we're in this flesh, we got to realize there's always going to be sin because sin dwells in this flesh. So verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Oh, now here's about being serving in newness of the Spirit. The inward man. When Paul talks about the inward man, he says, the outward man perishes, the body that we're living in, but the inward man is renewed day by day. There's an inner you. That's your soul and your spirit. And now God's Spirit dwells with your spirit so that you can know the things of God. And as you then start delighting in the inward man, you start gaining what it's like to live a spiritual life. Rather than battling the flesh, you realize the flesh is always going to have sin there. That's why verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity unto the law of sin, which is in my members. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We've read that verse last week. But here he calls it the law of his mind. He's trying to dwell on the spiritual things of God, and then there's this other bombardment coming at him of sinful flesh. And so that war is always going to be there. It's the war that's going on in his mind. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? As long as we're in this body, we are going to have this problem of sin. What Paul is teaching us is recognize that you're dead to sin, you're dead to the law, and you're even dead to the flesh. And so when Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Where is deliverance going to come from? The answer is verse 25. I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I will serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Until you die and are put in the grave, your flesh is going to be sinning. But what Paul started to concentrate on, the inward man, the spiritual man, he's going to serve the law of God in his mind. He's not going to concentrate on the flesh and the sinfulness. You put all that away. Recognize that you don't battle the flesh, you just recognize that it's sinful and there's no good thing in it. But you start growing in the inward man, and that's the beginning of walking after the Spirit. That's why when you get over into chapter 8, you have Christ took care of the sin problem, and then in verse 5 and 6, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, we're going to start minding the things of the Spirit. And as we begin to mind the things of the Spirit, then the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies and makes it useful to God to serve Him in righteousness. And that's the beginning of what it's like to live under grace and what the Christian life is all about. There's an easy poem that really emphasizes all this. It says, do this and live, the law commands, that gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings, it bids me fly, it gives me wings. We need to learn to live under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to walk after Him, to live in Him, and to be led by Him. And when we do, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. More next week. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You for these truths. They're so different than the way we think. So we have to read these verses and concentrate on them. And then, Father, start being renewed in the spirit of our mind that we might grow in grace and knowledge till we get to that point of Paul's prayer in Colossians that we might be fruitful in all good works serving You. And so, Father, we thank You for the means of loving us, taking care of our sin problem, no longer recognizing sin in our life, and allowing us then to start thinking on a new way and by Your Spirit have it quicken our mortal bodies to serve You in truth and in righteousness. We thank You for this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.